Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. This Labor Day weekend, as folks whose jobs were impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic take on extra burdens of finding new work, we're going to open replaying a June segment with a representative from the Workforce Alliance of South Central Connecticut to learn about new and enhanced online training resources and a little bit about the types of companies that have traditionally been hiring through the pandemic. Then we're going to learn how the COVID-19 pandemic is also taking a toll on folks trying to work through recovery or who continue to experience mental health challenges. September is National Recovery Month, and there's nobody better to discuss the current state of recovery practices than a psychiatric nurse practitioner and principal at Aware Recovery Care. We're going to find out how this agency is supporting its clients and getting to know individuals who are acknowledging their addictions and reaching out for help this September. Hey, September's also Preparedness Month, and with our local communities already experiencing tropical storms, tornadoes, extended power outages, and even some flooding, we're going to close chatting with the Ready Campaign Director at FEMA, the Federal Emergency Preparedness Agency, and bring you some critically important reminders about how you can best prepare to face whatever type of next disaster comes our way here in Connecticut. We'll be right back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. The non-denominational nonprofit Acts For Ministry, which provides numerous human services projects in Greater Waterbury, is going to benefit from a virtual bingo fundraiser on Thursday, September 24th, between 7 and 9 p.m. The cost is just $20 per player for 5 bingo cards. Traditional bingo is going to be offered between 7 and 8, and then it's time for music bingo with songs from the 70s and 80s between 8 and 9. To register, visit acts4.org. That's A-C-T-S, the number 4.org, and go to their homepage and click to give in the right top corner, and then hit the events tab. All tickets are tax deductible. Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. This Labor Day weekend, as folks whose jobs were impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic take on extra burdens of finding new work, we're going to open replaying a June segment with a representative from the Workforce Alliance of South Central Connecticut to learn about new and enhanced online training resources and a little bit about the types of companies that have traditionally been hiring through the pandemic. Then we're going to learn how the COVID-19 pandemic is also taking a toll on folks trying to work through recovery or who continue to experience mental health challenges. September is National Recovery Month, and there's nobody better to discuss the current state of recovery practices than a psychiatric nurse practitioner and principal at Aware Recovery Care. We're going to find out how this agency is supporting its clients and getting to know individuals who are acknowledging their addictions and reaching out for help this September. Hey, September's also Preparedness Month, and with our local communities already experiencing tropical storms, tornadoes, extended power outages, and even some flooding, we're going to close chatting with the Ready Campaign Director at FEMA, the Federal Emergency Preparedness Agency, and bring you some critically important reminders about how you can best prepare to face whatever type of next disaster comes our way here in Connecticut. We'll be right back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. The non-denominational nonprofit Acts For Ministry, which provides numerous human services projects in Greater Waterbury, is going to benefit from a virtual bingo fundraiser on Thursday, September 24th, between 7 and 9 p.m. The cost is just $20 per player for 5 bingo cards. Traditional bingo is going to be offered between 7 and 8, and then it's time for music bingo with songs from the 70s and 80s between 8 and 9. To register, visit acts4.org. ACTS4.org. That's ACTS, the number 4.org. And go to their homepage and click to give in the right top corner and then hit the events tab. All tickets are tax deductible. Well, we're going to start the program off this morning here on Father's Day, getting any fathers who may have been impacted job-wise by the COVID-19 crisis, or who have been looking for work before the COVID-19 crisis, or anyone else for that matter, who may be looking for help getting trained or reemployed. I'm pleased to have on the line Ann Harrison with the Workforce Alliance of South Central Connecticut. A division serves about 30 towns in our listening areas, and there's multiple Workforce Alliance offices. So almost everything of what we're going to be talking about today is applicable no matter where you live in Connecticut. So as we said, the Workforce Alliance wants to get you back to work because they're the ones that develop and oversee comprehensive community-wide responses to the challenges of building a highly skilled workforce here in the state. So, exactly. Ann, thanks for joining me. We had a representative from the Alliance on back at the beginning of the year, really before this whole situation hit with the COVID-19. And for somebody who works on the inside of the labor support force, there's probably no words to describe what you were seeing in real time as the numbers started just ratcheting up so fast. It was probably a blur, right?
Right. And of course, what people were going through these last 3 months, you know, is the important thing to focus on. We've continued to work even when we weren't in our offices. And the first thing that we tried to do was bring as much services online and virtual as we could, so that particularly we focused on those essential employers who needed to keep hiring right away, whether it was in healthcare or manufacturing or distribution, supermarkets, those types of things. We also worked on making videos of our workshops that normally people would need to come to an American Job Center to participate in. We taped them and made them available online. And that will be the norm going forward, continuing to offer as much as we can virtually and online. And even as we look towards beginning to have in-person appointments again, starting July 15th in South Central Connecticut, we will continue to offer the choice for people that they can do virtual orientation, they can do phone and video conferencing with our one-on-one consultants, they can watch workshops online, they can train online. We have a new statewide resource called Metrics Online Learning that's open to anyone who is unemployed free of charge for up to 6 months. So I think that that's going to be the new norm, is that, you know, we build what we can do online, but then we also now can just start to come back and offer in-person appointments, not groups, but appointments. So you started off the program talking about how, you know, this is a statewide effort. So my organization, Workforce Alliance, is based out of New Haven, and we serve 30 towns in New Haven and Middlesex counties. There are 4 other organizations like us across the state. It's Workplace down in the Bridgeport area. It's Capital Workforce Partners in the Hartford area. It's Northwest Regional Workforce Investment Board in the Waterbury area. And it's the Eastern Connecticut Workforce Investment Board out New London way. All of us are within the next, between July 15th and August 1st, give or take, are going to be reopening to appointments. And we have, all of us have on our website, you know, so people can understand how do you get those appointments, right? So we want to make sure everyone knows that no matter where you are across the state, you can get employment and training help.
Well, before we dig into a little bit more detail about those opportunities, could you just explain a little bit about how your agency and its sister agencies across the state interface with complement or maybe fill in some of the gaps that free up the Connecticut Department of Labor to focus their efforts on more imminent issues having to do with the mechanics of registering and compensating people. Yeah.
Sure. No, I'm glad you brought that up. So the Department of Labor has done an amazing amount of work helping half a million people, around 500,000 people who have claimed unemployment. And that is where all of their focus lies. They are not doing in-person appointments as of yet. They've reassigned most of their staff to just focusing on processing unemployment claims that come in online, and then helping adjudicate anything that comes up that hits a snag. So Department of Labor will, in its own time, start to restaff its centers that we are across the state. There's 18 or 19 American job centers. Some of those are co-located with Connecticut Department of Labor staff. So while the centers will be reopening, as I mentioned, starting in or around July 15th for appointments, that will be with people from Workforce Alliance and the other organizations I mentioned. And then Department of Labor will, when it's able to, start to do those appointments on their own, as they always had done. And for anyone to understand, so we are, the American Job Center Network is a partnership between us as nonprofit organizations and the Department of Labor, and we receive funding from U.S. Department of Labor. So, we're very strongly tied to those organizations as well.
Very good. Folks, if you're just joining us, we want to put you back to work or maybe help you find a new career. Ann Harrison's with us. She's with the Workforce Alliance. WorkforceAlliance.biz is their website, or you can just hit them up on Facebook. Just search for Workforce Alliance or go to Facebook.com/workforceall. And they will steer you in the right direction and will be able to get you into some of these free online training and programs and services that we're going to talk about now. Really a broad variety of opportunities. And I guess if there's any positives to draw from this COVID-19 emergency, it may be that a lot of people who had a lot of time on their hands and weren't working had the opportunity to maybe follow that dream that they had of either changing jobs or actually beginning some sort of orientation or training toward a career that they never thought they'd have the opportunity or the time to pursue.
Right. It's been a chance for people to take a look at where they're coming from. So we know a lot of people who are unemployed, came out of, service industry, hospitality industry, restaurant jobs. So that's, had a very strong impact on that sector. But it's hit everyone across the board. So the state as a whole is offering, as you mentioned, online learning. It's called Metrics Online Learning, and it's open to anyone across Connecticut, particularly those who are unemployed. And it's an easy setup that you can do through our website that you mentioned, and also through any of the regional websites. What the nice thing is that everyone is invited to sign up for it. If you are receiving unemployment, you got an email from Department of Labor encouraging you to sign up. But locally, so I mentioned this network of nonprofits and American job centers. If you're on Metrics and you need help and you can't decide which courses you should take, you're not sure of what your new career path should be, all you have to do is request help. And one of our coaches, who is actually based near where you live, will reach out to you and kind of walk you through that system. So, it's another way that we're partnering statewide on this. The governor has been behind this 100%, and to date, I know that there's over 11,000 people who've already signed up for Metrics. So the more people that hear about it and want to check it out, again, know that there is that support awaiting here for you.
Very good. The other thing we wanted to talk about, which we promised in our introduction, and I think when a lot of people see our podcast after our radio broadcast on all our radio station websites or on iTunes and other podcast sources, they're going to be intrigued to know which employers are hiring and have immediate job openings. You discussed earlier a couple of the industries, particularly food service and delivery and things like that. Tell us a little bit more from the inside as to where people can kind of skate to where the puck is going to be, or maybe where it already is, and they'll be able to slap it really easy and make an application and get back to work sooner than later.
Sure. So, again, on our website, we have a section for recruiting and hiring where since this started, we've for free posted Gaylord Specialty Care, Masonicare, Hartford Healthcare, Yale New Haven Health, CVS, Aetna, all needed people for specific jobs right away to actually help during COVID-19. That continues. So the way we help is to not only post the job, but our business service specialists actually have a relationship with these employers and are assisting with follow-up. So definitely want to encourage people to check that out. Not just healthcare, we have several manufacturers who, American Green Fuels, Biomed Devices, Medtronic, 3M, Roland Technologies, Brook & Whittle, these are all manufacturers who continue to need people, and many of them are creating vital things to help combat COVID-19. One great example is Biomed Devices, which is based out of Guilford, actually manufactures ventilators. So, that was an early focus for us. We're still working with those companies. We still want people to apply. And then, of course, the delivery services that became so essential to everyone over this time, Amazon, FedEx, Bizzuto's, we continue to help recruit and screen people for those opportunities as well, ShopRite as well. So, those are on our website. There's also a new website that has just launched. It's a dedicated portal on Indeed.com, which is just for Connecticut jobs that are hiring now. That's also linked from our website, and that's part of this, again, wrapped into the Metrics Online and other new resources. It's part of the statewide response to helping people.
Right. So once again, you access this wealth of information and resource and hopefully a new job or a renewed career. Workforcealliance.biz is where you could start or learn about the similar workforce support agency serving your area. The Workforce Alliance serves 30 towns in our listening area here in South Central Connecticut. Our friend Joe Carbone down at the workplace in mm-hmm. Bridgeport. And
Joe very well.
I call him Uncle Joe. We've known him for a long time. He's another great resource, as are our friends up in the Waterbury office. So they've got you covered. If you go to workforcealliance.biz, you'll see a lot of the same types of buttons and locations on that website and on their Facebook site, for that matter, that you'd see if you go to the workforce development agency that serves the town you're in, if you're not in the 30 towns for South Central's district. So, Ann Harrison, in the last minute or so that we have with you, just leave us with one or two of the most important tips that people who are beginning to look for a job now, who may not have gone job hunting for mm-hmm. years or maybe even decades before the COVID-19 situation pulled everything out from under them. What are a couple of the most important things people need to know as they steer in the direction of a new career?
Probably the most important thing to know is that you need to be flexible and be ready for things to be different, even with just, we all know about online applications, but interviews now are probably going to be virtual. So we provide some resources for getting comfortable on Zoom and how those should go in other platforms, how they should go. And also, too, don't wait until your unemployment is about to run out before you decide to look at training opportunities, whether it's the metrics or other resources on our website in the job seeker section of other traditional training programs that are now just coming back. Some of them have an online component, healthcare and manufacturing and others. You know, start looking and exploring, do some inquiries, talk to our staff so that you're already trained and already, you know, you've filled that gap in your resume now while you still have, benefits, and then you'll be ready to jump back in when the time comes.
Excellent. Just a reminder, Workforce Alliance and the American Job Centers in New Haven, Meriden, and Middletown are scheduled to reopen by appointment only on Wednesday, July 15th. But as you heard from Ann Harrison from the Workforce Alliance of South Central Connecticut, get started now. You've got the rest of your Sunday. It's Father's Day. Your dad would be happy if you called out some time to not only celebrate him, but also to get yourself oriented toward new work. Go to workforcealliance.biz or hit them up on Facebook for more information. And in the meantime, Ann Harrison, thank you so much for this important information this morning. And I'm sure we'll be back to talk to you or one of your counterparts at one of the regional agencies serving our radio audiences soon. So thank you and best of luck. And boom, just like that, it's September. Kids are going back to school, but there are a number of things that are kind of happening in the shadows of the COVID-19 pandemic that we are not hearing enough about. And since it's September and National Recovery Month, it's a good time to bring back our friends from Aware Recovery Care, which is a pioneer in the in-home mental health and substance use disorder treatment industry that represent true innovation. They're supported by a specially trained team of addiction professionals and offering the best in-class in-home addiction treatment program backed by both logic and data. One of the members of that team, a recently and newly titled member of that team, Dr. Shelley Halligan, is on the line with us. She is a psychiatric nurse practitioner and vice president of integrated healthcare for Aware Recovery Care. And this time is perfect to be speaking with her because we are, as I said, in National Recovery Month, which is a national observance held every September to educate Americans that substance use treatment and mental health services can enable those with mental and substance use disorders to live healthy and rewarding lives. We've heard those success stories and good news from so many practitioners and individuals who have benefited from the expertise of those professionals on the award-winning For the People so many years. And it's a message that we just need to continue to kind of beat the drum on, Shelley, because even now during this COVID era, during this period of rising general awareness here in America, there are still a lot of stigmas that are attached to addiction and mental health treatment that are preventing people or kind of keeping people from coming out with those disorders, sharing that information with friends, loved ones, and others, and seeking treatment, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that has happened during COVID-19 is that individuals have been, pretty much isolated. They've been homebound. And a lot of what we're seeing is that individuals that maybe have been sober and clean and sober for a long period of time, who've had their addiction in remission, it's raised its head again. A lot of depression, a lot of mental health, just as you talked about, is also really paramount at this time that we're seeing. We're also seeing a lot of lethality of drugs that people are using and abusing, and they're afraid to go into treatment, frankly, and because of the pathogens and because of the COVID-19, living in that space with other individuals. The beautiful thing about Aware Recovery Care is that we bring all of the treatment right to the person's home, including in-home withdrawal management, so the person doesn't even have to leave their home for detox.
So, we obviously heard kind of early on in the pandemic here in Connecticut, the governor and state and local health officials talking about how a lot of people were just avoiding treatment or therapies that they either had scheduled, were planning to schedule, or were regularly attending, causing people's cancers and other chronic health conditions to worsen. Has that been a mirror experience in the recovery industry, and particularly at Aware Recovery Care?
Absolutely. That's what we're seeing across the board in every state, is that numbers that we have seen, you know, we've worked so hard with the opiate crisis, the opiate pandemic, and the epidemic of overdoses. We've worked so hard to eradicate that and to offer so many people medicated-assisted treatment and treatment, et cetera. And with this COVID-19, we've pretty much gone backwards. We really have. We've seen a great deal of increase in overdose deaths. We've seen an increase in return to use. And we've seen an increase in significant mental health with depression, loneliness, isolation, and not being able to connect with others. And when those individuals that are, you know, have a substance use disorder diagnosis, or even individuals that are early in recovery or even long-term recovery, need that social interaction, need that connection. And what Aware has been able to do is we have our team specially trained to be able to go into the home safely. We make sure the client is safe. We give them a screening so that they're safe. Our teams are safe. They have the equipment that they need to go in and offer all of this care right into the safety of the home. We also do a lot of virtual. We have a lot of different technologies that we use. But there are individuals that I'm seeing recently over the age of 60 and 70 that might not be so tech savvy. The beautiful thing about that is that we have our teams able to go into the person's home safely, help them assist to learn how to use those technologies. But we also know that face-to-face connection, or mask-to-mask, we like to say at this point, is also very much needed.
Well, Dr. Halligan, talk more about that demographic, because while we've been covering addiction and recovery for almost three decades here on For the People, it's only really been over the past 5 years or so that we started really beginning to focus and hear more about how the addicts who were in their 40s 20 years ago are now in their 60s and, as you say, may be prompted to return to their abuse, or that huge segment of others who may have been getting prescribed more potent addictive substances as a means of their controlling pain or right. other aspects of their day-to-day existence, who either due to the fact that they're not being in close touch with loved ones who might be able to mm-hmm. monitor their behavior or what have you, or that they're avoiding contact with friends, those in maybe some sort of a program that they attend, or are even talking to their medical professionals because of COVID or their return to the substance use. Let's talk more about that.
What I'm seeing, too, when I was talking about the older population, exactly as you said, we did such a really great job with prescription monitoring. So, a lot of individuals that were on strong, really addictive opiate pain medication, we put an end to that. We really limited script. We have pain management clinics and all of those things. And that was an excellent response to the massive amount of opiate pain medications that was being prescribed. However, there's a great deal of individuals that not only became addicted to that, but relied on it because they have really true pain. And so to be able to control the pain while not abusing the medication is a delicate dance. I mean, it really is. But what we're finding is that those individuals that may have had some times without use have returned to use because of their mental health, as you said, not being addressed. They're not connected to their sobriety or their recovery community that they may have once been doing. And the loneliness and the isolation and the fear around this pandemic. What individuals with a substance use disorder, what seems to happen quite a bit is they return to what they used to know worked. So alcohol, drugs, it numbs the pain, it helps them sleep, it helps with their pain, and then, of course, it causes a great deal of other consequences as well. With this pandemic, with so many people isolated under the same roof, and now people are seeing, wait a minute, my spouse, my loved one, my son, my daughter, they really do have a problem. Or maybe before they might have suspected, but when you're under the same roof with somebody for 24 hours a day, you really can monitor really what the other person is doing, where pre-COVID that may not have been the case. So we're hearing from people saying, no, my husband is drinking 24/7. I did not realize it was this bad, because now maybe he or she is working from home and they're all together. So it's really been able to raise its head. But with this older population, especially isolation, not being able to attend church, community programs, things that they normally would do, they're really isolated and alone, and they're turning to substances all across the board, not just one. I would say that the majority of our demographics that we see at Aware Recovery Care is alcohol use disorder, but we have a lot of opiate use disorder as well, and that really can be anywhere from 18 years old to 74. I mean, we've had clients that we've seen from 16. We do treat 16 and 17-year-olds. We have an adolescent program in Connecticut. We mainly focus on 18 and older. I think our oldest client has been 84. So it's never too old to turn your life around. And that's really important too. But, you know, the age difference, we do a very individualized treatment plan depending on what that looks like. We match gender, story, and age match to our clients, so that the person that they're working with can really have, for the first time possibly, a person that they can talk to about what they've been going through, what they've been battling. And there's so much shame and guilt. You mentioned it before, the stigma around possibly returning to use or having a relapse or recurrence, whatever you want to say, that people don't want to reach out and say, you know what, I've gone back to drinking or I've returned to use. They're really embarrassed by that. That shame and guilt can keep people sick and suffering for a very, very long time. And what we want to say is that not only do we get addiction and recovery, we have zero judgment. Majority of our staff at Aware Recovery Care are individuals who are in recovery ourselves. So not only do we know it knowledge-based, but personally, many of us have walked that walk as well.
Great. Well, we're going to ask you to hang on. Dr. Shelley Halligan's with us from Aware Recovery Care. You're hearing about that innovative program here as we celebrate the 31st annual Recovery Month in September and focus on and celebrate the gains made by those living in recovery. We'll talk more about it, the kinds of drugs that the folks at Aware Recovery Care and others in their range of colleagues are starting to see or are continuing to see, and more when we come back with Dr. Shelley Halligan. Stay with us. Do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find an activity supporting a nonprofit in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website and hit the events tab. You'll find out how to promote it or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Hey, the United States Census Bureau is actively conducting non-response follow-up visits across every city, town, and municipality in Connecticut to ensure a complete and accurate count of everyone living in the United States. By law, the Census Bureau has to provide the first results from the 2020 census by December 31st. To provide complete and accurate results by that deadline, census staffers are doing everything they can to collect a response from every household by September 30th. U.S. Census workers are urging households to respond, maximizing staff and production hours and ensuring data quality along the way. And don't forget, the best way to avoid a visit from a census taker at your home is to complete the 2020 census online at 2020census.gov. All right. Well, thanks for hanging around. Dr. Shelley Halligan is with us. She is a psychiatric nurse practitioner and vice president of integrated healthcare with Aware Recovery Care. A quick and simple click on the website to Aware Recovery Care will open up windows and doors to anyone, loved ones or individuals themselves who are seeking options, particularly now during this COVID-19 era, really bringing a specially trained team of addiction professionals right to your door and into your home with no judgment, but offering the best in-class in-home addiction treatment program backed by logic and data. Shelley, thanks thanks for sticking with us here. You know, we just took a break as you started introducing the fact that your organization is also treating younger people. So let's flip that question about the older demographic to the youngest demographic that Aware Recovery Care is treating. How do you see the sudden screeching halt of the availability of the educational environment early last spring, I guess late last winter, and extending now possibly into the entire school year, partially or fully, for a number of school districts here in Connecticut, impacting how young people are dealing with substance exposure, abuse, and recovery care?
Excellent question. I'm seeing an enormous amount of calls and concerns from parents, from boarding schools, from therapists that are working with adolescents as well as young adults that are seeing a huge spike in youth. It can be anywhere from marijuana. That's a very large substance that I see among that population. Designer drugs, MMDA, ecstasy, Molly, those different things, and opiates, of course. One of the things that, you know, we like to educate the families on, we have a really big family wellness piece that we talk about too, and we educate our families, not just lip service. They're really included in the treatment, especially with when it comes to our young population. But one of the things I educate the families on is that, you know, okay, well, my son, he's smoking weed. All of his friends are smoking weed. Is it really that big a deal? Well, you know, the weed of today is very different than the weed of the 80s or the 60s. It's a different grade. It's much higher intensity. And also, I was explaining to a parent a couple of days ago that, you know, a lot of we'll do urine drug screens on our younger folks, and they think that they're only smoking marijuana when it's actually laced with fentanyl or PCP. So that they're not even aware of some of the substances that are in the substances that they're using. And that's what, you know, drug dealers, they're not approved by the FDA. They want their customers coming back. So the more addicting they can make their substance, the better it is for their business. So, you know, just because someone is, you know, possibly maybe only smoking marijuana that they think, it could be much more lethal than that. Mm. And the isolation that our students and our young folks that are seeing now, college is going online, high school is going online. And let's say that, you know, the child is maybe prone to depression or maybe has an ADHD diagnosis, that's going to make things much more difficult to be able to do online schooling, online education. And the parents are overwhelmed, the teachers are overwhelmed, the kids are overwhelmed. So it makes for a very volatile mix. And so kids want to escape, and, you know, young folks want to escape. And a really good way to do that is with drugs and alcohol.
Well, since a National Recovery Month focuses on not only substance abuse treatment, but mental health concerns as well, how much does the work that Aware Recovery Care and its team, how much of what you folks do come through the door as a result of a suspected substance abuse addiction, but quickly are able to diagnose either clinically or anecdotally that the individual actually has a co-occurring issue?
I would say that the majority of individuals that have a substance use disorder have a co-occurring mental health diagnosis, depression, PTSD, anxiety, many of those things that we see. It's very difficult sometimes to tease out which one comes first. Is it the mental health or is this the substance use? I see a lot of trauma in many individuals that turn to substance use disorder. And right now, everyone is affected traumatically by COVID. So that can really be one of those things that can be a triggering factor. So what we do right out of the gate is that we have a psychiatric evaluation for every single one of our clients. And if they need more support with their mental health or with another diagnosis that they have, we integrate that into their care because we are an integrated medical program. So it's all integrated with their health. We have the family systems, we have a licensed professionals that go out, and then we have our paraprofessionals that are individuals that have recovery experience themselves. So those are the ones that they meet more frequently with. But any of those diagnoses that they have with, we set up a treatment plan that is specific for that individual. Very different than a brick and mortar facility. So that, you know, when you go into a treatment program, which is needed, and we work with a lot of excellent inpatient treatment programs, because sometimes the person does need to go away, and we recognize that. We want people to get the right level of health care for their substance use disorder, so they may need to go inpatient for a period of time. But when they do come into our program, what we do is we look at see what their medical needs are, what are their dental needs, what do they need for their mental health, and we get all of those integrations happening right from the beginning. We're fortunate to be able to have them for 52 weeks. Anthem recognized our innovation and our model as being, you know, just a leader in this in-home addiction treatment program that we have created. And we are in network with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. But they saw the need for that. And it's really just a gap that was not there before Aware Recovery Care.
In the last couple of minutes that we have with you, Dr. Halligan, I wanted to approach a subject that I thought of after the last time we had one of your guests on our program, and that is, when you go into people's homes to support them and assist them in this kind of innovative in-home program, how often do you discover, or how often are you approached by other people who may be in that household who, as a result of overhearing or observing your interaction with someone else, they suspect or discover or maybe even admit for the first time to one of your Aware Recovery Care people treating a loved one that they may have an issue themselves?
Very, very often. It's really interesting that you said that. A lot of time that discovery comes from our family wellness department, which they are masters at. They work with the family separate from the client. And so, and then we collaborate as a team. We meet as a team and we do rounds and really discuss each one of our clients. And a lot of times that will come up, that the father, let's say, of one of our clients is suspected that he may have an issue. We have treated husbands and wives before. We have treated partners before. We have treated sons and fathers in the same household before. So we've done that before. We've actually seen it quite often where there has been a husband and wife that have developed a drinking buddies together, and it's turned into an addiction. And, maybe one person may be presenting more significantly, more severe than the other, and they may come to our treatment first, and then the other person says, you know what, I need care as well. And we offer that treatment for the spouse or for the loved one as well. And we get the whole family well. That's what you can do. That's what's different, you know, about Aware. We don't take the person out of their environment and try to get them better and then put them back into that same environment and think that it's going to change. We have to change the whole family system.
Fantastic. Recovery Month celebrates the gains made by those living in recovery every September, and it's now in its 31st year and being supported by myriad agencies and organizations across the country and here in Connecticut. One of the most innovative is Aware Recovery Care, a pioneer in the in-home mental health and substance use disorder treatment industry, representing true innovation. Their newly named vice president of integrated healthcare and a psychiatric nurse practitioner herself, Dr. Shelley Halligan, has been our guest this morning on For the People. Shelley, thank you so much for all your great information this morning, and continued best of luck and wishes for you and your team to stay
thank
safe.
Thank you
and
so
keep,
much.
Keep doing the great work you're doing. We'll talk to you.
I really appreciate it. Okay, thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. And now the pivot into our final segment of the program, from Recovery Month to National Preparedness Month. And we are with an ideal person to talk preparedness. We're going to meet Lee Krager. She is from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. This year's campaign for National Preparedness Month from FEMA and the Ad Council is simple. Disasters don't wait. Make your plan today. And they're encouraging you to social hashtag be ready whenever possible. And Lee happens to be the Ready campaign director. So we're going to talk a little bit about why people here throughout Connecticut, whether you're in the thick of one of our cities, you're in one of our suburban neighborhoods, or one of the families or folks far flung out into our rural communities, why it's so critically important to start preparing your household and your family and your business, both physically and financially, as soon as possible for potentially a complex incidents involving natural disasters here during the coronavirus pandemic. And, we've already experienced a couple of weather-related issues that have really kind of pitched Connecticut off-center quite a bit more than the pandemic has. Lee, I'm sure every time a tropical storm even begins forming somewhere out in the Atlantic or Pacific, folks at FEMA start being concerned about how well people are prepared. So it's great to have you here during Preparedness Month to talk a little bit about it. Quickly, tell us a little bit about yourself and the Ready campaign.
Well, thanks, John. It is a pleasure to be here today. This year is so different for all of us. Like you said, with coronavirus, now more than ever, everyone's realizing, we really need to take the time to get prepared and make sure we've done everything we can, whether we own a business or we live alone or we have a family. What are those little steps we can do? So with the Ready campaign, it's the same as, a child in school, is they do a tornado drill or they do a fire drill. And they do these so many times a year, and all the children really know what to do because they practice. So September is the time when the Ready campaign is really kind of aimed towards adults to make sure we do those necessary things. And we've got to put ourselves through that drill of what do we have? Are we prepared? Do we have proper insurance? So this is really what the Ready campaign is about. It's kind of that reminder for adults that we also have to take that same time and practice.
Well, while so much of what we're going to talk about for the next 10 or 12 minutes is going to be really kind of overlapping everyone, let's quickly call out businesses and discuss, if you could, for a few minutes, any of the particular unique points that the FEMA Be Ready campaign is focusing toward exclusively businesses that may not be as relatable to individuals who are trying to make a plan, build a kit, and prepare for disasters in their home.
Well, the same thing with businesses are for any homeowner. It's the first thing we ask people to do if you own something and you're vested in it is, do you have insurance? A lot of times that's where people want to cut corners because insurance is seen as a luxury sometimes, especially times like now where the economy may not be so great and people are really looking for where they can cut back. But insurance is it's more than a luxury. It literally can be your lifeline. After a disaster, it can help fill in for all of the expenses you just aren't prepared that are going to come up, any lost wages. So businesses are a whole different category for types of insurance that are out there to make sure they're prepared in case something happens. Because even if there is a federally declared disaster from the president, for businesses, there really are no grants. There's no way to help with that. For any normal disaster, they could get through the Small Business Administration, a low interest loan to help. But they really are. If you are a business owner, especially a small business, to make sure you've got insurance that's going to protect you so you can continue on after a disaster.
Very good. Now broadening the focus out to anyone who is inevitably going to be affected by some sort of disaster, if not this fall or winter, then perhaps at some point in the future, the information remains quite important that we're going to relate. So let's take a couple of minutes over the next 10 or so, Lee, to just hit the high points of the Be Ready campaign, starting with, as you already mentioned, making a plan. It's kind of surprising that when they were teaching me back in the late 1960s and early 70s about making a plan as a grade school student, that folks are still needing to be reminded of it now. But I guess that speaks to how many people still aren't paying attention to advanced planning.
Oh, right. And it's the thing, like I said, we've got to keep reminding people now is the time to plan. What we've seen this year compared to previous years is every other year we're having to tell people a reminder to take the time, and people are too busy to make that plan. They're too busy to make an emergency kit. They're just not home with their family enough. Well, guess what happened this year? People were at home a lot more. They really had the gift of time being at home, being with their family. So this is the year we're like, that can't be the excuse now. We all have to know we've got the time. If you have kids, talk to your kids. First and foremost, take the time to have that conversation. And you can have it more than once in September. If you have family members and you're Skyping or Zooming with them and FaceTiming, have that conversation, because sometimes it's easier to get in touch with an out-of-state relative than it is someone who lives down the street if there's something that disrupted power. Mm. So make sure you've got some out-of-state contacts. But now's when you actually have time to kind of think that through a little more than we normally would see people having time-wise.
Well, one of the reasons I'm glad that we have you on the show, Lee, and why FEMA is playing such an important role in our Preparedness Month interview is we've heard, issues here in Connecticut, but by having you on the show, we have the benefit of a national ear to the ground. A lot of times when there's a disaster, whether it's weather or something else, communication does become a concern. Can you offer any advice or tips for people aside from having someone out of state that they might be able to use as a liaison? Because, sometimes the landline goes down, but they still have mobile service. Other times it's the mobile network that goes down and maybe there's only landline service. Are there any particular things that you're addressing to people in regards to maintaining some sort of line of communication?
Yeah, and since we're in such a modern age, and it will tell the difference between when we grew up and kids these days, as we can say that term, our phone numbers. Now people have contacts in their cell phone, and very few people actually know someone's phone number. So it's a great idea to make sure those are written down somewhere, and then you could have someone locally and someone out of state. Just to be covered in case something happens, or if you were, separated from your phone and your contact list, to be able to get that. So we kind of live in that day and time where people don't keep an emergency list of phone numbers anymore, or people don't have really an emergency contact. So it's the right time to do that. There are times in disasters, like you said, phone lines may be overwhelmed. There's times when you can text perfectly fine, and we would prefer people text rather than taking up the bandwidth of the lines. And there's times when if the cell towers are down, you may be able to do a phone call out of state easier. So make sure not only do you have those numbers, but that your children do, and they know who to call if something happened. And even they couldn't reach you, they would have a couple of other people on the list who know they'd be getting in touch with them.
Great. I know the Be Ready campaign is also directing people to be sure they have a go kit. And I know this can be quite a monumental task when it's a go kit for an entire family versus a go kit for just an individual. Can you educate folks on some of the ways that they can economize to the point where they're able to get a lot more of what FEMA thinks they're really going to need if they need to go into a kit for an entire family versus an individual? I mean, are there any economies of scale, so to speak, when it comes to building a go kit?
Well, a lot of people, they first, their mind goes to, you know, clothing or, you know, the major items for everyone. I think it's kind of more important to know what are the three things you would have to have with you. In my situation, that would be an asthma inhaler, but that's something no one else is going to know about me. So if, when you're looking at prescription medication and family members, think, do you have enough in reserves that if you had to leave your house and you couldn't get to your pharmacy, you couldn't get reach your doctor, that you've got enough of your own prescription medication to help you through the immediate aftermath. That is usually the most important thing. So I'm trying to tell people that in old school, it's not a bad idea to have cash. Because like you said, if you're trying to economize, if you can't take everything you need to take, make sure you have cash. So when you have to purchase something else, if credit card machines are down, we're very reliant on those these days, that you do have some cash and you're able to kind of meet the needs.
Very good. Any other key items that people really tend to need but also tend to leave near the bottom of the list when it really should be up near the top?
You know, it's cash, like I said, is always a good idea, and non-perishable foods. We do see where people have canned foods, but they have an electric can opener. And so that's not going to work. So it's another thing of our modern times of having to think back a few years when you just had a handheld can opener. So sometimes it's just going back to the real basics and being very simple. And you don't have to go to great lengths or make any, you know, huge plans. Just the simple few things you're going to need.
Very good. I know FEMA and the READY campaign are encouraging families to have an honest conversation about developing a disaster plan for the real possibility of anything from a hurricane to a tornado. We had a couple of those in Connecticut last week. Floods happen here in Connecticut. We're just sort of looking back on the history of the huge flood of 1955 here in Connecticut, but even power outages. Can you direct people to some of the partners that FEMA has had a great relationship with and is continuing to promote during the Be Ready campaign, and how they can access additional resources?
Yeah, they can go to ready.gov. There is tons and tons of information there. And links where we've developed a campaign throughout this entire year with the Ad Council and the CDC. And we've really taken a lot of the animations and graphics that we've had, and we really kind of COVIDized them up, like put masks on some of the characters, the things that a few years ago were not a big concern for anyone. So we've made sure to go in and kind of highlight that. But people can go to ready.gov. On ready.gov/September, all of the social media graphics and public service announcements are there. You can even use them on your own social media accounts throughout September to help promote preparedness and let people know that you've taken some steps and they can too. So it's a great resource, and it's also full of checklists and even games you can play with your kids.
Excellent. Thank you so much. FEMA wants you to know that September is National Preparedness Month, and this year's campaign from FEMA and our partners at the Ad Council is a simple one. Disasters don't wait. Make your plan today. So get on social, use hashtag Be Ready, and actually be ready by consulting FEMA for all the information you need to know about ways to make a plan, build a kit, prepare for disasters, teach young people about preparedness, and access all the resources you need to help keep you safe and sound in the event you do have to respond to a developing disaster like we've seen in Connecticut over these past few years. I want to thank our guest, Lee Krager. She is the READY campaign director at FEMA. And Lee, we will say farewell for now and hope for a relatively problem-free fall and winter season for us here in Connecticut as well as you at FEMA. Thanks for your time.
Yeah.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.